Probably a good idea to pray, huh? We're looking at your book again, Lord. Help us today to learn from this book what we're supposed to be about so we can be of maximum service to you and to others. Thanks for your constant presence, that you and your promise that you will always be with us. This Labor Day weekend, we pray for those who labor for others. So many. Of course, we're mindful of our troops and police and firefighters and all those first responders and medical folks, and teachers are coming back into full force and kids are going to school. And help, Lord. Help. A lot of stuff going on in this world we just don't understand. Help us to know your will, and please help us to do it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. What's it say in the beginning of that program, Tim? What's it? Who? Unusual suspects. Okay, so unusual suspects. Why Moses? Treat yourself this weekend, not during the day, but at night. Watch that great epic film from 1956. Remember how long ago that was? Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments. Remember that? Charlton Heston played Moses. Yul Brynner played Pharaoh. What a great film. And it goes through the Exodus, which the book is we're going to study for the next 2 hours during the sermon. It's a classic, and it talks about this guy who we wouldn't pick to do anything. A little background that we didn't read in the book is about this Moses character. He had the gift, the ability, the what? The unique position of being brought up in Egypt's royal family. He was a grandson of the Pharaoh back then when he was a little baby. The Pharaoh back then, the story begins, he's afraid that the Israelite boys that they have now as slaves, the Israelites in Egypt, that there's going to be too many of them and they're going to overthrow the Pharaoh. So Pharaoh says, kill all the young boys. So what would any good mother do? She'd try to save her son. So Moses' mommy puts him in a basket and puts him in the River Nile and then watches him float down the river. So the theological stretch, too, there's one now, the next one's coming right after. Moses was the first recorded case of a basket case. Oh, it gets worse. Don't go away. The basket case is floating down the river, and his mom's watching from the side. And who picks up the basket case but Pharaoh's daughter, right? She picks Moses up out of the bank of the River Nile and says, So the other bad story is, not only is Moses a basket case, but his adopted mom was financier because she went down to the bank of the Nile and brought out a little prophet. Okay, that's as bad as it gets. Anyway, she claims Moses as her kid. And since mom is watching, someone says, hey, Moses' biological mom, hey, would you be his nanny? And what mom's going to turn down taking care of a kid? So Moses' non-biological mother calls him what? Moses. Which means in my Hebrew, I don't know my Hebrew as well as the good doctor, of course, but it means to pull out or draw out. And I love the imagery there because this guy Moses is going to pull out and draw out the people of God, the Israelites, to take them to the promise, the freedom of the promised land. There's all sorts of stuff in the Bible. If you want to hide something from a Christian, put it in the Bible. Moses, adopted mobility, right? He's noble. Raised, an Israelite raised in an Egyptian palace. His countrymen were what? Slaves. But Moses was privileged. He was set apart. He ate at the royal table, educated at the finest schools. But I'm guessing that his mom was the best teacher he ever had. Because I'm guessing, you know how moms are, right? She's probably whispering into her son's ear, God has put you here on purpose. Someday you will set your people free. Never forget. See, you know, moms have a way with their kids. Moms are wonderful. And guess who didn't forget? Moses. Justice and freedom kept building inside of him and his kindred, and it grew and it grew. And he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite slave, and he lost it. And he kills the Egyptian, buries him in the ground, and now he's afraid. So what does he do? He imitates Jesse Owens. I'm running up and I'm running away from Pharaoh because I'm guilty of murder. Wait a minute, a guy guilty of murder that God uses? Haven't we heard that before? Wasn't that David? Didn't he murder someone too? It's amazing who you choose. Unusual suspects. Trouble was there, so he ran. Out of fear, Moses hid in exile. He's escaping the death penalty for his crime. Talk about a change of life for this character, Moses, right? Promising Hebrew is now herding sheep. What do sheep smell like? Sheep. Yes. He used to dine with the heads of state, and now he's counting the heads of sheep. I stole that. Was that your line I stole that from? It's good? Okay, thank you. 40 years, it says, he's in this wilderness area up north of, it's like, what? Imagine what this guy learned in the 40 years. Being a shepherd maybe taught Moses how to lead. I don't know. I got questions when I get to heaven. So do you. So the third chapter of Exodus, Moses has this marvelous encounter with God via a burning bush. Talking with God through a tree. This is a stretch, but centuries into the future, what happens? There'll be another tree, one at Calvary, where God speaks to all of us with forgiveness and eternal life. In this one, God says to Moses, I got a job for you. And he said, what? I have observed, how does that go? The misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cry and I know of their suffering. Moses, go set them free. Set them free to the freedom of the promised land. And then verse 11 comes along. Moses sounds so human. It's great. He says, wait a minute, man. Who am I that I should go? I'm not smart enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not. Well, yeah, why Moses? Maybe more specifically, why this now Moses who's 80 years old? Huh? You know, we could maybe think of a 40-year-old Moses to do this job, but 80? Wow. Too old, too tired, smells like a shepherd, speaks like a foreigner. He had some speech impediment, right? He's not going to make any impact on Pharaoh. And what does God say? It's a theme throughout the whole book. I will be with you. I will be with you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's with you? Check your pulse. God is with you. I'm still a little bit confused, though, aren't you? 8 years? What? Why? And then there's the line that comes to my head from Isaiah 55. You remember this one from a couple of weeks ago? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, the Lord says, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Says, far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. This side of heaven, we're not going to have all the answers. It's not all going to make sense to us on this side of heaven. Moses, unqualified, afraid, speech impediment. What does God say to him? Why this guy? And why? Why did God give this guy those 10 suggestions? I'm sorry, those 10 commandments. Remember those from kids being taught? I am the Lord your God, you love no other gods. Right? Don't make any graven images. Don't be a potty mouth. You know, what? Worship. Go to worship. Go to church. Something about your mom and dad. Honor your father and mother. Notice it doesn't say you have to love them. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder people, different than killing people. Don't commit adultery. We know what that's all about. Don't take stuff that doesn't belong to you. Tell the truth. And don't covet. The Big Ten suggestions he gives to Moses, this 80-year-old dude. But wait a minute, he's older than that when he gets them, because they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know, want to know why they wander for 40 years? Because Moses was a guy and he never asked for directions. I know where I'm going. Just kidding. Yes, Pastor Freeman and Pastor Olson Popped helped write this next paragraph. They came by on Friday and said, we figured it out, we figured it out. They said, here's the deal, the story. It's God sees, God needs, God leads. God sees, God leads. No, God needs and God leads. God sees things in us. God needs us, and God leads us. God does not care so much about our ability as he does our availability. Almost done, one half of a paragraph left. I love the fact that Moses paid attention to the bush, that he noticed it. God sees him. God sees you too. Do you notice the voice coming from the burning bush for you? A voice that whispers to you, reminds you that God is not finished with you yet. Oh, we may think he is, right? We may think that we've peaked. We may think he's got someone else that can do the job. Please, please think again. What does it say in Philippians 1, verse 6? I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue it to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is doing a good work in you. Probably best if we stand up now and sing a song. Let's sing. God bless you. Good to be with you.